And so the first thing I did was to set up something that's called a launch steering committee, where I bring in basically heads of different functions. So country manager, head of sales, head of marketing, head of customer success, head of product, you know, and we sit down and we have a conversation on basically the most important launches. Because one of the things I didn't want to do is that when it's a launch, it's just product. No, it's actually the whole business is launching. Everyone needs to be ready.
Hey, I'm Cody Bernard, and you're listening to Getting to Market, a show that gives you an inside look into what it takes to successfully launch a new product. In each episode, we'll chat with go-to-market leaders about how they go to market, covering the tools, tactics, and tricks that they use so you can take your own product launches to the next level. My guest today is Yannick Podar, Global Director of Product Marketing at PayFit. Today's episode is brought to you by theproductlaunchmasterclass.com. This is the product launch course for product marketers that need help transforming their launches into their CEO's favorite marketing weapon. It was created by my former colleague, Dan Murphy. Dan ran product marketing at Drift and is now running brand and product marketing at Privy. Over 150 product marketers have taken the course and learned Dan's proven launch framework. You can check out their reviews of the course at theproductlaunchmasterclass.com. Now, the course normally costs $99, but because you're a listener of Getting to Market, you can get it today for only $59. All you have to do is use a promo code Getting to Market, all one word, all caps. Again, that code is Getting to Market, all one word, all caps. Visit theproductlaunchmasterclass.com right now to get this course. So with that, let's get into today's interview. I'm here with Yannick, Global Director of Product Marketing at PayFit. Yannick, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Cody. Super happy to be here.
Super happy to have you. We got connected through ShareBird. Shout out to the team over there. They were telling me that you've been doing some really awesome things, obviously in the product launch world, and I definitely wanted to come and have you on the show. Obviously looked you up on LinkedIn before we jumped on the call. You have a ton of experience, obviously at PayFit, working at LinkedIn as well. So I'm sure everybody listening to this episode is going to get a ton of value. So with that, do you want to tell us a little bit about your background and how you got your start in product marketing?
Yeah, absolutely. Background, you know, I'm very multicultural. I'm French and American. I'm also African. So really, you know, grew up in the DC area, you know, Washington, DC, and went to a French school, went to school internationally in the UK, France, and Spain. And then later on, I started my career in B2B sales at Dell. Out in Virginia, DC area. After a few years at Dell, and you know, I'm probably one of the folks who does not have a traditional product marketing career, that's for sure. So already starting from B2B sales, and then you can tell it's going to be an interesting story. But yeah, after that, I ended up you know, moving from Washington DC to San Francisco because I really wanted to hear what's going on with all these startups, you know, scaling so fast and growing. And so after pivoting there for a few years, I ended up launching a business teaching people how to use LinkedIn to land their dream job. And so I was basically you know, doing some coaching, some speaking, you know, selling courses and coaching from business schools. And at some point, I was like, hey, why not actually join LinkedIn? And I ended up reaching out to one of the senior directors of product marketing at LinkedIn, told him, hey, I absolutely love this story. And I wanted to, you know, see if I can get some advice on how to, you know, pivot into a marketing role. And so we had a quick chat about product marketing at LinkedIn, and he absolutely loved my profile and my energy. And, you know, he offered me to join the team, and I ended up, you know, interviewing with the rest of the product marketing team. And there you go. That's how I landed the role. You know, but it was a really interesting experience because I was actually doing product marketing without even knowing what product marketing was.
I was going to say, you literally started your own business. You launched your own service, which that's super cool. Like, I know, like, there's obviously with everything going on in the world, like I've seen now more than ever people kind of starting their own side hustle. And I mean, this was like your full thing. That's amazing. And you're definitely, I think you're the second person to come on the show that has a sales background. And I found those interviews to be incredibly interesting because as a product marketer, sales is obviously like one of your biggest stakeholders. And if you can truly understand what they're going through on a regular basis, you have such a leg up to other people in the space.
Absolutely. I mean, I think for me, it's just been interesting because when you're in sales, it's like you've been on the ground trying to close deals, whether it's SMB, mid-market, and enterprise. And so, you know, you don't, pretty presentations are not going to cut it. You really need to understand who's the customer, what are their pains, and what kind of value you can bring to them. And then it's obviously knowing your pitch and being able to show show that value so you can close a deal. And so coming from that perspective, when you make a launch and then you have to train your sales team, it's like, you've been one of them, you know how hard it is to close a deal. You know the different stages, you know the different folks that are part of that conversation. How do they unlock budget? How do they make a decision? And so it's like, when I'm launching, I'm thinking about all these questions that are going to go to the salesperson's perspective. And so I make sure I train the salesperson from a sales background.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's so huge. And I think like such a value add to your business. And actually, that's a good segue. So tell us a little bit about PayFit. What do you guys do?
Yeah, so PayFit, we are a platform that's focused on automating payroll and HR for SMB companies, primarily today in Europe. So we're in 5 countries: in France, UK, Germany, Spain, and Italy. And you know, really right now, the focus is just helping them to stop wasting time, to start making errors, and just find a way to really scale fast and really provide value to your employees. And so it's a really intuitive cloud-based platform, and just in a few clicks, you go from adding people to paying payroll by the end of the month.
Yeah, that's awesome. I have some experience in the staffing and recruiting space. I used to work at a company called Bullhorn, which does ATS.
Oh yeah.
Yep. They cover a lot of that, some of that stuff. I'm not really totally sure anymore, but that's actually perfect, because what we're going to talk about today for a launch is one of the partnerships and integrations that you just are actually in the current process of launching, which is SnapShift. And I'm assuming they do some level of shift scheduling.
Yeah, exactly. They do that. They're time planning and shifting, exactly. And that's really important for them, because that's how they basically, their clients are all restaurants who have a ton of people. And so they have to plan the shifts, they have to payroll, they have to pay them based on the hours worked. And so obviously the hours work needs to be reflected on the payroll. And so they, you know, we did an integration partnership between them and us so that we can facilitate that process between our common customers, but then also unlock markets together.
Right. Yeah. And that's actually what I wanted to kind of talk about specifically today. It's a launch that you're currently going through the process of. This is what you would call a multi-phase launch. And I think, can you tell us a little bit more about what that means? Like, what was the, I guess, let's start with, what problem were you solving? Where did you realize that there was an opportunity to integrate with SnapShift? And then from there, what was your process for putting together this multi-phase type of launch?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that's a great question. And I think, the most important thing, if you're a great product marketer, you're very close to your customers, so you understand their pains in general. And so we knew that we had, a good 10% of our customers that are focused on hotels, cafe, restaurants, and there's a lot of shift planning. And if you're close to customer satisfaction, surveys and NPS, you can sometimes get that feedback of, hey, right now it's pretty hard to make changes on our payroll. There's a lot of, spreadsheets, manual work on, in Excel, and then we have to re-import those times to impact the payroll. It'd be really nice if we could just do it directly, on PayFit, for example. And so, through that process of understanding the pains from surveys, then we then ended up reaching out to specific customers. We had some conversations. We discovered, wow, yeah, this is a pretty big pain, and it represents a substantial amount of time for our customers, and then be willing to pay to solve this problem, because it'd be giving them hours back every month and hours back every quarter and every year, which in the end could even pay for someone's another salary. And so once we discovered that, we ended up reaching out to that potential partner, SnapShift, which was a big player in France. And we asked them if they'd be willing to work on this together. And they were 100% on board, because they have the same vision as ours, is making their customers' lives easier.
Right. So it was more of like a better together type of story, where it's like, we're going to cover this first piece, this first pain, and then we're going to bring you guys in to solve the second pain. And by doing it together, you got to get an opportunity to co-sell too, right? Like, there's opportunity where they might have some customers that you don't, and vice versa, and you can leverage that as a revenue driver.
Exactly. I think that was amazing, because that's one of the things that we aligned on. We're both, startups, fairly new, less than 5 years old, who've had pretty great success and have both, grown pretty fast, in a short period of time. And one of our missions was targeting small business owners. And so we knew that we were targeting the same people in the same industries. We both have the same level of international market expansion goals and current status. And so we're like, let's make it happen. And so that's really how it all started. We had a meeting with the CAO, and one thing led to another.
That's awesome. So tell me more about this multi-phase approach. So you mentioned before we started recording that right now you're currently in beta. What are all the phases and why did you decide to go with that as your launch strategy?
Yeah, so the phases were really important because we wanted to first test, we wanted to validate to make sure, okay, let's do something easy like import, export, for example, but make sure that it's done not in a manual way, it's automated as much as possible. And I think that was already a way that can be a quick step to solving customers' pains before we even invest into actually creating an API integration together. And so it was a way to validate the pain that this already can make a difference, and it actually did right away. We saw that customers were happier, they were doing this the specific activity faster of updating payroll based on time shifts of their, you know, of their employees. And so, you know, that was the first idea to make sure let's start with a beta of import export, and then let's plan an API launch where we really go all in, and we call it an epic launch because we have three different tiers. We have epic launch, major launches, and minor launches. And so we wanted to start first with something a bit more minor and then, you know, scale it to major and then really go all out with an epic next year. And so they have different levels of budget in terms of product costs or product investment, different levels of sales as well, you know, because there's a big difference between a minor launch and an epic launch in terms of, you know, sales training, sales collateral, just sales mind share and a specific OKR as well. And so we wanted to kind of pace those and test it out before we really make a big bang. So that's really, you know, how we think of it. We don't always go through a, you know, tier three, tier two before we go to tier one. Sometimes we already know it's a tier one launch and we can go all out, like opening a new market, opening a new country, or launching a whole new product line. But that's really the thought process that came behind it.
Walk me through the process of naming your tiers epic and all of that, because from what I've heard so far, like, we use tier one, tier two, tier three, super boring, lame. You get what they are going to like get across, right? Like, just by that, I've heard P1, P2. Where did the naming come from? Is that just something for like internal purposes that get everybody kind of rallied around like, okay, this is epic, this is cool?
Yeah, exactly. It was really that, because I mean, tier one can mean everything and nothing really. It's to different people. But when you use the word, hey, this is an epic launch, like we are, you know, bringing out all the fire, people can relate right away. The mindset, the energy is already aligned. And, you know, if it's a minor launch, you know, okay, it's minor, it's focused on adoption, or it's focused on, you know, small amount of revenue. But a major launch, you know, right away, just by listening to the names, minor, major, epic, you know, right away at what level we're looking to play on that specific launch. So it's, you can see people's smiles right away. Okay, we got an epic launch coming up, you know, in a quarter. So let's, you know, get things ready and so on. Or minor launch, okay, let's invest a little bit less here because we have two majors coming up. So this is a very easy way to have that conversation.
Yeah, I love that. How do you work with your product team on that? Like, are they aligned with those, obviously, names, but then like the things that you'll do for that launch, like the bill of materials? Are you super closely aligned with product on that? Like, did you work with them to define it? Or is it like product marketing rolled it out and product has their own way of doing things?
Yeah, totally. I mean, so I joined PayFit about a year ago. And so one of the things I noticed is that like there wasn't necessarily a lot of clarity between in terms of the amount of investment that we would have between different types of launches. So, for example, we would see there'd be a massive product investment, but maybe not a lot of a commercial investment on that, and vice versa, a very small product effort and then a launch that's, you know, the size of you know, an epic. And so I knew right away that there's some leveling that we needed to make happen. And so the first thing I did was to set up something that's called a launch steering committee, where I bring in basically heads of different functions. So country manager, head of sales, head of marketing, head of customer success, head of product, you know, and we sit down and we have a conversation on basically the most important launches. Because one of the things I didn't want to do is that when it's a launch, it's just product. No, it's actually the whole business is launching. Everyone needs to be ready for the launch. And so right away, you know, I introduced the steering committee, and then I introduced the notion of tiers and said specifically goals for epic versus major versus minor, and ask if everyone was aligned on the differences and the amount of investments from each function that we would need. So if it's a major launch, of course, we need more customer success to help to onboard. We need more salespeople to help sell, you know, all these different things, right? Marketing to help create those creative assets, you know, and make sure we target the right people and have the right campaign. And so really it came about in that way. As soon as I got here 3 months in, it was one of my quick wins because I had learned this from LinkedIn. LinkedIn's a, you know, absolute just machine when it comes to just execution at scale. So there's a lot of things that I learned from there that I was quickly able to apply as soon as I got here. And so to answer your question, as soon as I introduced that framework, everyone was pretty much aligned. And then we just decided on, okay, what investment, what leveling to have for what type of launch.
How often do you meet with that group? Or was it like a one-time thing? It's like, hey, we're going to align on the goals and on the investment. And then you kind of just know that from here on out? Or is it more of like you meet on a monthly or quarterly basis?
No, we meet on a monthly basis. So the role of product marketing, we didn't talk about that yet, but the role of product marketing, at least at PayFit, is about, basically enabling product market fit and accelerating growth in our markets, which means that we help identify the best product to build for our ideal target market, and we accelerate growth. And so with that, we have an intelligence pool, which is all about the market, all about the competition, all around the pricing and monetization strategy. Then there's product development. Then there's marketing kind of launch, creatives and assets. And then there's the sales enablement piece. And then there's the customer adoption piece. And so with that, every month we speak and we talk about basically these topics around each project. So we look at epic launches, major launches, and minor launches, and we'll look at how we're doing based on the goals that we had aligned on. And one of the teams that I have is called the product revenue team, and so we're in charge of sizing new business opportunities but also managing product impact on the business revenue. And so it's kind of on my lap to be making sure that I not only have that on my radar but to communicate it to the cross-functional partners to know if a project was successful or not.
Got it. Yeah, that makes a ton of sense. And I love that. I think we have like a product roadmap meeting on a monthly basis, but we don't, okay. It's not everybody across the board for stakeholders within each department. It's more of just product and product marketing. I like kind of expanding it to more than that so you can get a different perspective. I think that's really, really helpful. So walk me through a little bit of how you go and plan your launch. What types of tools do you use? How do you make sure that you're keeping everything on track? And then with that, what are the types of deliverables that come with a launch specifically and how you were bringing SnapShift and that integration to market?
So in terms of a launch, we use something called Notion. I don't know if you're aware of it. It's like basically
a platform. I just had a product marketer from Notion on a podcast 2 episodes ago. He's a great guy.
Okay, awesome. So Notion is great and fills a lot of use cases for a variety of teams. Potentially, I think we might end up investing into an actual project management software for launches. But so far right now, we're using a combination of Notion, spreadsheets, as in Google spreadsheets, and then Google when we're like showing kind of the assets and so on, Google slides. So Notion is really our end all be all right now, where we have basically the different types of launches per quarter with a roadmap on it, the different cross-functional partners involved. So engineering, product, marketing, sales, customer success, because a launch as a whole, it's a company thing here. That's one of the big thing that I really want to push is that a launch is not just product marketing. It's not just product. It's the entire company launching. So everyone needs to be aware. Everyone needs to be enabled. And we need to have a representative of each function to make sure it's a success. And so we use Notion to clear out all the details on there and basically monitor the milestones and who's doing what. Notion also has a feature kind of like Kanban. So when something's completed, you kind of move it around. It has comments, a bunch of stuff you can do. I mean, it's like a Trello on steroids because you can just do so much in there. The good side with Trello is that they also have integration. So shout out with Trello on that one. So we use Notion. And then, when we're basically launching, one of the things that we track for sure is going to be on Google spreadsheets, and then through our Salesforce CRM. So we'll track the amount of leads, demos, customers, MRR, average revenue, conversion rates. All these are really, really important to just understand how are we doing on our, on our existing, revenue forecasting for that product. We had said, hey, it's an epic launch, so it needs to bring in, X million, euros within that first year, which equates to X amount of leads generated, X amount of conversations happening, and, with X conversion rate. And so we just track to see whether we're on the ball or we're completely off. And if we're off, we can easily see, oh, it looks like we are off on lead to demo. But when it comes to demo to customer, we're really good. So what's going on? Well, how can we get more of those right leads? So these are the kind of things that we use to monitor once a month to see what we're doing. We also have a win-loss meeting with the sales team. So that gives us an understanding of why we're winning deals, why we're losing deals. So all that is really on a monitoring phase. In terms of another tool we use is Slack. Slack is I think everyone kind of uses Slack, but we use it a lot just to kind of, we have a Slack that says new features, for example. And so everyone knows that this one's coming out. And then we have a sales enablement Slack where they get all the information and their learning kits for sales and customer success. So those are some of the tools that we use: Notion, Google Spreadsheets, Google Slides, Slack. Those are all our usual suspects.
No, I love that. I think all those tools I'm very, very familiar with. I definitely use them all myself. So you mentioned in there that you want product launches at PayFit to be a company-wide effort. What does the internal communication strategy look like? Like, how do you go and do internal marketing to get everyone on the same page, to get that level of excitement before you bring something to market?
Yeah, I think there's multiple levels. That's a great question, because it's something that, to be honest, we're still continuing to iterate on, to continue to improve on. Right now, I mean, the folks that we really get, that we influence to help is the leadership team. So right now, you know, with the launch tier code, we have a launch tier code per country. So France, UK, Germany, Spain, and then we have a global launch tier codes. And so that's a really good way to just, you know, rallying up the leadership team to make sure that at least, you know, the heads of each department is aligned and committed to making a successful launch. But then when it comes to everyone else, I mean, we have internal keynotes, every quarter, where we basically announce what are the projects that, first of all, how the quarter went. So the wins, the challenges, the next steps on the existing projects. Then the next phase is then in that keynote is talking about the future now. So what are we looking to do? Why? How do we prioritize it? And so I think one of the great things about that meeting is when you suggest a new feature that we're going to prioritize, and you let them know that actually it's because this came from you, this came from sales, this came from customer success, this came from whoever. I think that right away, they feel like they're part of the conversation. They feel like they have a say. And that right away makes people feel committed, because it's like, hey, you asked for this. We went in and checked in and validated. This is a great opportunity. Are you on board to making this a success? And so that already gets people routed up. And then, of course, you need to have all the assets that they need to have. So as soon as it's ready, they can tease it out. They can have all the right information in the demo accounts. They can have the right pitch decks to upsell customers or to acquire new customers. But I think that keynote is incredibly important. And then there's that monthly check-in that we do with a monthly meeting as well. A monthly team meeting with the company where we talk about product, marketing, sales, customer success in general. That's another meeting where we give an update on how things are going. But yeah, I think a combination of, you know, that keynote and then having leadership team bought in really makes a big difference for internal communication.
Does that differ depending on the type of launch? Like, I'm assuming Epic, of course, but like also with major and minor, does that come into play? Or is it maybe just for major because that is still an impact to the business, but minor might not be something that you really need to communicate unless there's a group of minor features that you're going to, want to communicate because you'd rather group them than launch them separately.
Yeah, it's a great one. And again, we're still iterating on this process as well. But typically, majors and epics are the ones where we call in the big guns. Minors, not necessarily, but we are starting to think about how we can package a group of minors to actually make it a great launch and tell a better story around it to create adoption. But yeah, I think that's a great thing about product marketing. And probably one of the most complex things that I've had to face was international launches, because when you're launching, you're not just, when we were at LinkedIn, it was one great product scaled internationally that worked very well. It wasn't necessarily personalized as much to each market sometimes, whereas PayFit, right away, we've created a platform where basically there's the global engineering team that created the platform, but then there's local product folks that could each iterate on that platform, which means that actually from one country to another, the features can be different. The UI could be a bit different. And so it actually makes it a bit even more complex how you launch. And that's why, you know, the keynotes and the launch tier codes are even more important, because it's like you have a different situation sometimes in different countries. And so that's why you also have to play well and say, okay, majors and epics will do it. But sometimes a major might not necessarily be a big major in one country. So there's a lot of that nuances as well sometimes that we have to work with. But in general, that's been really the success factor for our launches.
Yeah, I feel like the middle of the road is always like it depends. It depends on what it is and the level of impact it could have. Walk me through a little bit around your launch day. What does that look like? Like, how does... how do you basically go out and make a ton of noise about this? Is it obviously through social and a bunch of content and obviously the conversation sales and CS are having, or what does that look like?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that we focus on launches, it's not necessarily a launch day, but it's launch. It's like launch momentum. And so we want to make sure that it's not just one single event, but it's like a multitude of events with a pre-launch, a launch, and a post-launch. And we're still trying to find a way, of course, to improve this situation. But I think the pre-launch is already really important because we can, you know, already tease out through sales, through customer success, what's coming. But then we have the actual webinar too, which is great. The webinar is an amazing way that we can invite customers and say, hey, it's ready or it's about to be ready. You have access to it in 2 weeks. That's a great way to get some energy out there. We also have a customer newsletter that we send out so that everyone knows what's coming out. And then lastly, we recently launched what we call a customer community, PayFit community. And so those are basically our early adopters or folks that are super interested and giving feedback. They're vocal, they love us, and are not afraid to give us kind of like the hard, you know, tough love. And those are the ones that we really want to, you know, arm them with the platform and the new feature ahead of time so that they can test it out. And, you know, once they test it out, we can also use some of them, their testimonials as well as part of a campaign. So it's this whole momentum thing where, and then, you know, later on customer success is like, hey, we just released this. Did you hear about it? And so it really happens. I think when I look at a launch, I look at the launch happening across the quarter. But we love to get to a point where we have this whole, you know, this Big Apple event and like everyone is ready to kind of, you know, show up and you got, you know, all the press and all these different folks. We're not Apple yet, but I think, you know, that three month kind of quarterly launch is what we aim for. So yeah, it's really a series of activities throughout that quarter.
I mean, it never hurts to strive for greatness, and Apple's definitely a good role model to have. yeah. No, I think it's really interesting because every person that I've talked to so far, it's like there's this notion that you have this massive launch day, and I think you do need that. I think you need that to help build momentum, but it's funny because a launch doesn't start until that day because there's so much that happens after the fact, right? Like once people can actually get their hands on your product, where do you go from there? Is there anything that you need to do in regards to updating your messaging? Is sales able to effectively sell this, right? Like, are there anything on the product side that we didn't think of that we need to go in and add in from a feature perspective? So it's funny because everyone thinks of launch as launch day, and it's more of like this ongoing iterative process that happens over time.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And to be honest, we haven't, like I keep saying, we haven't figured it out yet, but I think we're getting better with every launch. We're seeing, you know, better levels of success metrics that we hit every launch. And I think the biggest thing is making sure you have a cross-functional OKR for launches, because the moment the launch is a cross-functional OKR, you already know you have, you know, sales on the table, you have marketing as well, you have customer success, you have product, and now you're really all in together, locking arms and going after a specific objective. And I think that if you have that, it's great. But if you start launching and then you kind of try to get buy-in from sales and, you know, sometimes it's a little bit hard at that point, especially if they didn't believe in the product, they might just sell it, but discount it and things like that. So it's really important to have those folks right at the beginning of the conversation.
For sure. So what would you say is one of the biggest challenges you had with specifically the SnapShift integration launch? Like, was there anything that you can think of that comes to mind where you're like, I wish I would have attacked that differently, or that was a really big hurdle that I had to get over?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing was COVID and the impact of COVID on the market. I think that's just something that we obviously didn't anticipate, and just the, you know, I mean, obviously the biggest market for SnapShift is kind of hotels, cafes, restaurants. And they were the ones that were the most hit with COVID. And so as a result, you had specific goals that you wanted to hit, but then, you know, the whole market's closing down. And so I think that was probably the biggest thing is then, you know, making the decision, do you continue, do you pause, you know, do you still continue to, you know, to accelerate? And so I think that was probably the toughest thing to navigate towards. And so in the end, we launched a beta, we got some great success. But then, you know, the market, you know, really took a toll with COVID. And so as a result, we're pausing the bigger API launch to a few months out next year, which is okay. But it was hard because, you know, you have the product team investing, a substantial amount of time to develop something. And then obviously the ROI on it is not successful as it could have been, but that's not necessarily, anyone's fault per se, but I think that was the biggest hurdle for us for this specific launch release.
Yeah. That's been like a hot topic throughout all of these interviews that I've had so far. It's like, it's how do you go and navigate your way around such a huge market trend or market shift? And I think everybody's attacking it differently and there's no right answer, but I think pausing is definitely the best way for you to still get a bang for your buck when you do actually bring this to market, hopefully at a time where the market isn't as much of a factor. So I guess what would be your one piece of advice or one thing that you would want someone to take away from this conversation? Somebody who is either just getting their start in product marketing or somebody who's building or somebody who is standing up a product launch process at their company.
I think the lesson I learned, and I think the one aspect that's probably contributed the most to having successful launches, is that making a launch a cross-functional OKR. I think that for me just resolves so many problems because you have sales, product, marketing, customer success all in the room trying to basically make a decision on what do we prioritize. They commit on that and then they put the resources towards it. So you know you're going to have marketing that's going to bring in the attention it needs to create the right launch campaigns to drive adoption. You have sales teams that are going to be committed to making sure with a specific goal in mind of leads, demos, customers. You have this customer success team that's 100% focused on, if it's an epic launch, making this successful with adoption. And so you just have like the right players in the room to steer the ship, or the rocket, I should say. When things are going well or not so well. And I think for me, that's probably one of the number one thing I would say is when you're launching, you don't just have product marketing launch, but make sure it's a company launch. Obviously, depending on the size of that launch, but strive to make that as much as possible. And I think that's one of the things that made our cross-functional partners, leaders, value product marketing so much and respect product marketing, because we don't do it alone. We do it with everyone.
Right. You also just get that buy-in too from everybody, which is just absolutely crucial to making sure that the launch is a success, right? Well, Yannick, thank you so much for coming on the show today. I really appreciate it. I've learned a ton. I definitely going to take some of this back to my personal endeavors in product marketing. So I know other people will find value as well.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Cody. And if anyone wants to reach out for any questions, happy to help. Especially for international launches, I think that's a tough one. So, always happy to answer some questions on how to navigate through those.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Getting to Market. If you like today's show, hit the subscribe button and tune in every Thursday to hear from more marketing pros on how they run their product launches. I'll see you on the next episode.